Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
This is Dante Lee, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and download the free ebook, 101 Ways to Improve Your Marketing and Sales. And before I introduce my guest for today, I just want to remind you that the Reach More Clients Power Conference is coming up soon. You definitely want to make sure that you check it out. You can go to SEOQueen.com/conference to read all about how you can purchase tickets and to see who is speaking. So today's guest is a speech language pathologist licensed in the states of Oregon, Washington, and California. She is also a member of the American Speech and Hearing Association. She is a certified provider of the Program for the Education and Enrichment of Relational Skills and the founder of the IRLSocialSkills.com. Her goal is twofold: to provide skill-building courses to teens and young adults, their parents, or social coach, and to train the medical, social, and civic environments where the neuro minority engages. Mara McLaughlin worked with the migrant family population in Southern California and on the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico and Utah, as well as in Oregon and Washington's public schools, where she developed a strong passion for the neurodiversity movement, inclusion, and building capacity across contexts. She also had 25 years of training and experience in yoga and mindfulness, bringing this work to homeless and, well, houseless and incarcerated children and adults, as well as a Portland Trail Blazer. So I would like to introduce to some and present to others none other than Mara. Mara, how are you?
I'm great. Glad to be here, Zay.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here as well. I invited you to come onto the show because I saw a post on Instagram and it made me think of you. And it was interesting. It was really, really interesting. And the post said,
yeah, it said, a child with autism spends hours being taught how to interact with others. Why don't we spend time teaching those without autism how to interact with them?
And I thought that was really striking because, you know, we are really often taught so much about, you know, how we're supposed to act or do certain things. But when it comes to, you know, us as society being more mindful of those who are more neurodiverse, there really isn't a conversation. So I wanted to have a conversation. First of all,
I'm excited to have this conversation.
What is neurodiversity?
Well, neurodiversity is also known as, like, it's similar to biodiversity. So it's the diversity of human brains and minds, which is the infinite variation in neurocognitive functioning within our humanity. So autism, ADHD, anxiety disorders, intellectual disabilities, dyslexia, schizophrenia, and mood disorders all fall under the umbrella of neurodiversity.
And you know what? May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So this, this is perfect timing for us to have this conversation. And so neurodiversity, this includes, you know, autism, dyslexia. It includes so many things. So before we, you know, delve into the meat and potatoes of, you know, what you've experienced with, you know, helping people develop more social skills through as they are neurodiverse, what drew you to this work?
Well, I was in graduate school and I was intending on working with adults with traumatic brain injuries. And I just got assigned an autistic child and I was like, wow, like, whoa, how does his brain work? You know, and I just got really, I got sucked into his world. And then I just, I noticed the strengths of autistic kids and I said, that's who I want to work with.
So what strengths did you notice?
I noticed their strengths in visual spatial skills, for example. So pattern recognition, oftentimes off the charts. I noticed they're just like, their sensitivity, which is like sensory, as you know, meaning like visual, acoustically, you know, with their sense of touch, and also how they were really empathetic. Even the non-speaking autistic kids, I would hear stories of them, you know, like comforting their moms when their moms was crying. And there's sometimes there can be a bad rap, like, oh, autistic people are, they lack empathy. It couldn't be further from the truth. So those were some of the strengths that I noticed. And, you know, the biggest impact on their life was social skills, social interaction, social communication.
Okay, wow. So what do you think are common misconceptions that people without autism have about those with autism and other mental health challenges?
Well, first off, autism is a brain difference. People are born with autism, and autism has been around for millennia. It was pathologized, if you will, during World War II, really, when the Nazis decided that over 200,000 children needed to be killed because they did not want them in the gene pool. So eugenics, you know, part of their eugenics movement. But autism has always been around. And so it's not a mental health issue, although you're on the right track in that there are mental health challenges arise with autism. Like at least, you know, 79% of autistic people have experienced at least one co-occurring mental health disorder at some point in their lives. So there are, yeah, there's significant impacts of being socially isolated and peer rejected. I think there was another part of your question that I missed.
Yeah, I just asked, you know, what are some of the things that you've noticed about, you know, autism? So I did not know that autism is something that's been around for a while. I think if you follow the narrative in the media, it has started becoming more prevalent, allegedly, with the rise of vaccines. That's been kind of one line that I've seen in on blogs in different areas. So can you give us, you know, educate the public about about autism? Because, you know, I really believe, you know, based on my life experience, that this whole idea of a normal brain is really overrated, and it can be manipulated to exclude and oppress other people.
Absolutely. There's like this very narrow definition of like of neurotypical. And, you know, there's a really wide range of so-called normal. It even calls into question, like, you know, what is neurotypical? It's a very narrow definition. So a lot of people fall outside of that, like, narrow definition, thankfully, because diversity is strength. In terms of the vaccination correlation, that has been debunked thoroughly and repeatedly by epidemiologists. And sometimes parents, you know, there might be this, you know, blog post from a parent's, you know, from an anti-vax standpoint saying like, oh, my child was typically developing until he got his vaccines. Well, you know, we're not sure if they were quote unquote typically developing until they got the vaccines. I mean, that they might have had like some splinter skills. And again, I want to make sure that I'm not like pathologizing autism. You know, neurodiversity is, and autistic people are supposed to be here. They're meant to be here. They're born this way, and their needs change over time, just like everyone's needs change over time. The interesting part of this conversation is that now autistic kids are adults. And so they have grown up having these different interventions and different, you know, like deficits assigned to them. And what we're finding out is that, you know, like they have some very strong opinions on what is damaging, what is traumatic, what is abusive, like ABA or applied behavior analysis. There's very strong, actually, autistic advocates who are like, that is abuse, full stop, don't do it. And at the same time, autistic people still need help. They still need help and support. And one of the main things that needs to be emphasized in terms of the support is training environments about neurodiversity, about autism, about how behavior is communication. And, you know, but what are they communicating? You know, we might see like a baby crying when you're going to feed him some mashed bananas. And you might say, oh, this baby doesn't like bananas. But really what's going on is that the baby has bad gas, you know? So it's our like interpretations of behavior. So we have to dig a little deeper. One of the main components of an autistic brain and sensory system is the impact of, is the like extra sensitivity. There might be something called hyperacusis, which you might know something about.
I've never heard that term before. What, say that one more time?
Hyperacusis. It's like extreme sensitivity to sound.
Oh.
So, you know, like the sound of the refrigerator humming or the, you know, heat being on, like that, this whir of the computer, like all of these things make a sound. And, you know, a neurotypical brain might be like, oh, you know, that sound is going on, or might not even notice it. Whereas an autistic brain, it might be just too much, put them over the edge, and behaviors might come out as a result. They might shut down as a result of this hyperacusis. Tags on clothes in and of themselves, like they might need to be really baggy. They might need to be all cotton because of, you know, like
there's a clothing line called Cat and something. They change their tags to a print. I remember reading about that when they first changed. They said something to the effect of, you know, in consideration of our neurodiverse customers, we've removed the tag and now you can find it in such and such place printed. So I have seen businesses pivot part of their product design as a result of dealing with the public, which I think is cool.
Isn't that great? Yeah, because usually what we find, like these accommodations, these simple kinds of accommodations actually serve to benefit everyone.
Exactly, because those tags are actually annoying, period.
I know, they are. And I mean, lighting, you know, fluorescent lighting, like that doesn't help anyone.
I think, you know, neurotypical people have coping mechanisms where they're like, oh, that's just the way it is. But mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't necessarily notice such things. So what I've observed, and I really haven't gotten to know any autistic people just, you know, personally, but what I've just noticed in public and just different places is that they seem like more sensitive to their environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, and that's true. And, you know, you may know some autistic people, but you just don't know that they're autistic. They might not even know that they're autistic, mm-hmm. You know? I mean, you might just think of them as eccentric or, you know, kind of awkward socially. So, you probably do. I'm sure you do know some autistic people. They do have like an extra sensitivity. And that is, and that's a fact. You brought up something about a company pivoting to accommodate.
Cat and Jack clothing. They're carried by Target.
Oh, rad. Okay, Cat and Jack clothing. Yeah, nice. You know, speaking of like companies and employment, another aspect of the conversation with actually autistic adults is how under and unemployed they are. So between 70 and 90% of autistic people are under or unemployed.
Oh, wow.
Despite like individual differences and potential possession of particular strengths and unique abilities that may be very valuable to employers. For example, great attention to detail and tolerance for repetitive tasks.
Oh, wow.
Like there's a story in Harvard Business Review about how, you know, there's this man who was, you know, he's a wizard at data analytics, mathematical ability and software development skill, you know, like the combination of his talent in those areas is really unusual. 2 master's degrees, both with honors. You know, obviously one that a tech company would want to hire, right?
Right.
But he was unemployed for more than 2 years because he couldn't make it through the hiring process.
Well, I can see why. Because even for me, like applying for jobs has been, it's a challenge. So I can imagine for someone, you know, autistic, it can definitely be even more so because it requires a lot of patience and a lot of communication.
Yeah, a lot of communication. And, you know, he's like, he has to wear headphones because of his hyperacusis. When people talk to him, he doesn't look right at them. He looks away because oftentimes autistic people, you know, they can either like look at you and get so lost in your face, or they can listen to you. And there's, you know, sometimes there's repetitive acts, like, you know, this, like having to, you know, have his shoelaces tied just right, you know, can't concentrate when they're loose. So there's these like eccentricities. And, you know, so those are the kinds of things that might make someone be like, oh, well, he's like kind of weird. You know, I don't know if he's really going to fit in with our corporate culture. Well, then you have to change the corporate culture.
So that leads to my next question. How can individuals be more understanding? And how can companies be more understanding and welcoming and inclusive of those who are neurodiverse?
Really good question. Like, so, you know, there's several solutions to this. Oftentimes HR companies in the spirit of equality versus equity want to have, you know, the hiring process be the same, want everything to be the same. We can't have everything be the same for neurodiverse people. Okay. So like solutions might include using non-traditional, non-interview based assessment and training processes. For example, have it be like have the person come in, you know, have it be like a 4-week process of, you know, of demonstrating their ability to do the work. Also training the environment in, you know, training other workers, training managers, setting up like a mentor system, a support ecosystem. You know, I mean, you know, when people know better, they tend to do better. I remember when I was at the middle school and one of the like middle school kids who wasn't autistic, I said, hey, do you know about those kids down there in that hallway? He said, oh yeah, well, I know they have autism and I know, you know, we just got to feel sorry for them and be glad that we're not one of them. Well, you know, just a little bit of education for people goes a long way. It's like, wow, but do you know that like this one is like a virtuosic piano player? Do you know that this one like makes amazing movies? Do you know that this one is a math wizard, like working at beyond college level in mathematics? You know, like, and that's not to say that all autistic people have like savant type characteristics. They don't. They're not a monolith, you know, but they all have strengths, just like all of us have strengths. And you got to make the strengths stronger. So when people... you know, so training environments and tailoring the methods for helping people manage their careers. And, you know, the thing about like an autistic employee is like they're going to be really loyal. They are going to work really hard. They want to do an excellent job. They're not going to be standing around the water cooler. They're not wasting time. They are actually it's very beneficial for companies to hire autistic people because of these special skills in pattern recognition, memory, and mathematics. They also need to be explicitly taught some of the like hidden social rules of a work environment. For example, like John would have to be taught, like he can't, you know, comment like, hey, Martha, you have beautiful breasts. Can't say that, you know? I mean, what does Martha do without any specialized training? Martha goes to HR and John loses his job. But Martha, with some specialized training, she can say, John, at work, we don't make comments on people's physical appearances. That's the rule.
Right.
Oh. And John now knows the rule that he's not supposed to comment on physical appearance at all.
Right. Right. So what are three things that you want people to know about neurodiverse people? Three things.
Well, neurodiverse people have strengths. They, at any point in time, any of us can experience a mental health crisis. And but none, but you have to be, you're born with autism. So, neurodiverse people, like I said, have strengths. They don't need to be cured. They need help and accommodation. And this diversity can be very beneficial to companies. And, just to have in your life as a friend, like if you have an autistic person in your life as a friend, you are lucky. They're not gonna lie to you. They're gonna be brutally honest. They're not gonna steal from you. They're gonna be really loyal. They're gonna be great friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I've run across a lot of mothers of autistic kids who are authors. And what are some things that you want people to know about, raising an autistic child?
Play to their strengths, make their strengths stronger. And just like know that they don't need to be fixed. They're not broken. They need support. There are supports out there. There's more and more supports. I mean, in the past 10 years, like support for autistic people has skyrocketed. Currently, only 2% of funding by the United States government goes to like helping people in their lives, helping autistic people in their lives, like as adults. However, that is changing. There's been a recent, a 5-year extension of the Federal Autism Collaboration Accountability Research Education and Support, the CARES Act, is injecting $1.8 billion into autism research with a new focus, adults on the spectrum. So, and you know, and the focus being on providing supports, community supports, family supports. And that wasn't that hasn't been in the mix until just now. And
That's
there are lots of organizations like the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network. They're like nothing about us without us. The there's an organization called Next for Autism. They just had a big fundraiser on this past Friday called Color the Spectrum. There was a big movement, from the activists in the autism community who changed the story. The Color the Spectrum fundraiser. Next for Autism, the organization that put that on, like they've been around for 18 years. They've never had an actually autistic person on their board. They had in their mission statement, had verbiage that said, to like funding goes to prevention of autism. We don't need to prevent autism. That's eugenics. Autistic people are here. What can we do to support them? And so now it's $1 million or one third of the funds that have been raised from this fundraiser, whichever is bigger, $1 million or a third of the funding is going to help actually autistic people with the transition planning, which is transitioning typically from high school to college, which is a very rough transition. Because of the social demands increase and change as we get older. So they're looking at getting those kinds of supports. They're looking at creating a funnel, an accessible funnel for autistic people to start businesses, with people helping them along with that. The executive functioning part of autism, like the, you know, thinking, planning, making decisions, organizing time and space, that is really hard. So it's like ADHD. Oftentimes there's a co-diagnosis of autism and ADHD, but the autistic brain is there. There's a lot of overlap between ADHD and autism. And so there's exciting things that are happening in terms of like, hey, you know, like let's pay attention and help these autistic people have a better quality of life. So there's like, there is hope. That's what I want to say. There's hope.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting close to the end. So I wanted to ask you, how can people connect with you and what can you tell us about in real life socialskills.com? IRLsocialskills.com.
Yeah, IRLsocialskills.com. We do a training that is from UCLA. It's called PEERS, the Program for the Education and Enrichment of Relational Skills. We work with teens and adults age 12 to 38. And we do this curriculum, and we also add in some more to this curriculum. The curriculum has the most robust evidence base of any social skills curriculum out there. It is very effective and not that expensive. And what is so special about it is that we teach both the teens or the young adults, as well as their parent or social coach. So we're training the environment. And our families are just like crying tears of joy because they're like, oh my God, my kid has a social life. Like, because we're teaching concrete rules and steps of how to make and keep friends, gain and retain employment, and develop and sustain romantic relationships. And a lot of the skills are the same. Like, you know, for example, we're holding a free dating workshop this Thursday. And, you know, a lot of there's like skills that are involved in dating. Ask a question, ask a follow-up question, answer your own question. Is the conversation, are you making sure that it's like 50% each person? You know, each person is getting to share a little bit. And you want to have someone, you know, before you move into a dating relationship, you want to make sure that you're friends first, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
So there's a lot of the same skills that apply. We also offer neurodiversity trainings to corporations to help corporations with that hiring and retention piece to help them, you know, because benefits to businesses include like talent acquisition in tough to fill skill areas, low turnover rates, improved communication across the board, across the organization, like, you know, direct, just the facts, you know, nothing, no florid long ass emails, you know, cut to the chase, higher productivity, enhanced reputations, and increased innovation for businesses. So we, you know, offer a consultation to how to help businesses in their hiring and retention, as well as courses and trainings for teens and adults. We offer these 16-week trainings. And so we develop a really, you know, high level of intimacy training skills. Our adult classes start May 13th and run through August 26th. And then our teens classes start Monday, June 28th and go through Monday, October 11th. And we offer two different times on both of those days, Mondays and Thursdays, to accommodate people in different time zones. It's such a blessing. We're so grateful. My like very diverse team is really grateful to be able to offer these services to families because we're passionate about neurodiversity and providing supports that actually work in real life.
Right. Thank you so much. I think it's really important for us to create inclusive spaces because, you know, people bring their whole selves to work.
Yes, they do. Their neurodiversity
with them, and that is definitely something that companies can definitely play to their strengths. So I know besides just the corporate trainings that you do, what other types of workshops do you do under the umbrella of IRLSocialSkills.com?
Well, like I said, we have a free dating workshop on Thursday. It's at 5:30 to 7, and that'll be with our whole team, and we're getting a really robust response to that. And then we have the trainings, our 16-week courses for teens and adults. So I would say, you know, come to the website and find out more.
All right. Well, there you have it. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Mara. It has been a pleasure talking with you about neurodiversity and autism. And this is Mental Health Awareness Month. And this is really important for us to open our minds and open our hearts and be more inclusive as a society, because there's a lot of bad vibes out there and we don't want to be a part of that. So thank you so much for coming on and
educating. Thanks for having me.
And opening our eyes to a little bit more about autism, because, you know, sometimes it could be a little, you know, people could be fearful, like, I don't want to, you know, ask the wrong thing or offend anyone. And so this is a great way for people to kind of, you know, get some insight without, you know, feeling like they're going to embarrass themselves or upset someone. So thank you so much.
Yes, my pleasure. Talk to you soon.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. When traffic's gonna explode, it's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. When traffic's gonna explode, it's time to grow.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.